Labor Day weekend now here, the school year having begun, and the level of activity increasing a little more. A word this morning about our work, about our human activity. Amidst all of the things that we do and all the things that we are about, the human being still remains a human being and not a human doing. The activities that we're about, on the one hand, do not change us, but on the other hand, they do have tremendous power to who we become, who and how we are in relationship with one another. Because of our human doings, our human activities, we can become a virtuous man or woman. We could become very strong and free. Or on the flip side, we can become quite wicked in what we do. We can become weak, even become enslaved to various things. Repeated activity is what forms habits within us. And habits have great power to form the human person. How one thinks, how one relates, how one responds to life. And I'm sure there's not a family or a person in church this morning that has not known personally or even in their family how destructive habits do just that, destroy. Many a life has been lost because of bad habits. But many a life has been saved, and other lives have been transformed because of the good people. Today, we hear a beautiful word in the scriptures. It's actually the second reading from the letter of James. And I think it's such a hope-filled, such an important verse in the scriptures. It reads this: humbly welcome the word of God that has been planted in your soul and is able to save it. That's a beautiful, very hope-filled word. For the past 5 weeks, we've been reading from John chapter 6, the Bread of Life discourse. We, with the crowd, have heard the words of Jesus about him being the bread of life. And just last week, we came to the end of the chapter, and it was the point of decision. And we saw how Jesus asked, "Do you believe this?" And a large portion of the crowd basically said no, and they left him. At least they had the dignity to make a decision. But then he turned to the apostles, and you remember Peter's response. He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? We have come to believe that you are the Christ." Well, this week begins our reading from the letter of James, and for the rest of September, the whole month, we'll be reading from this letter in the New Testament. And it's almost as though James is teaching us what it means to believe. And it begins with a welcoming of the word. Not just the hearer of the word. We hear a million words a day, and God's word might be among those many words. James says, be not just a hearer, but a doer of the word. Welcome the word that has power to save. He goes on, he says, religion that is pure and undefiled is religion that is oriented to charity. It's active. And such religion has power to keep one unstained in the world. That's kind of interesting. Think of all the things that can stain us internally. And religion, power to have us live in such a way that we remain pure, undefiled. Now, of course, religion itself doesn't do that. The gospel today is all about the Pharisees. And I suppose they had religion, but it was a religion that bound them to themselves, or to the mere hearing the word, or the religious customs and practice. But for the Christian, religion is very different because it binds us to the person of Christ, so that the Christian is one who is not just believing in God, but is the one that has welcomed him and has the power to become like him. Yes, Christian religion enabling us to be one with God, to be like him, to even become him. Christ in us. So that we begin to think like him, to respond like him, to be him for one another. My friends, this is the invitation that faith offers. And this letter to James begins to show us what it can look like. This past week, we celebrated the feast of a great saint. Many of you are familiar with him, Augustine. Yesterday, we had a terrible, Villanova actually beat Temple in football. I was absolutely depressed at the 5 o'clock mass. I'm a big Temple family. I mean, this is unheard of, right? And I hear even Penn State went into overtime last night, you know, a little shaky first game. So I thought this morning, I said, I have to say something good about Augustine, right? And there's a lot of good to say. In fact, he's a great paradigm for what the habit of religion can do. You're familiar with him. Augustine was no dummy. He was actually a really smart guy, and he pursued so many different thoughts, so many different philosophies. And he pursued them with great passion. His life was running from one thing to another. And yet, it was only when he was 32 years old that he heard this word to take and read, tole lege. He opened the scriptures. He fell, opened it up to Romans 13:14. And he read this. Not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual excess or lust, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus and be one with him. Augustine, at that point, said it was as though he was flooded with light. He was baptized within the year with his son, who he had, you know, in an unwedded marriage. And it was Augustine who would later write, "Become what you receive." My friends, the power of God's word that has been planted in us, that has power to save. As we begin all of the activities of this week, of this new school year, let us not allow our faith to be yet just another activity, but let us allow it to do what it can do and what we need it to do for our lives. Make us truly human. men and women who live in such a way that they know the freedom, the security, the charity that true religion brings. I close with words from Augustine. He wrote this when he was around 33. And he said what I think are such beautiful words, perhaps, in my opinion, the most beautiful of literature. Lord, late have I loved you. O beauty ever ancient, ever new, late have I loved you. You were within me, but I was outside, and it was there that I searched for you. In my unloveliness, I plunged into the lovely things which you created. You were with me, but I was not with you. Created things kept me from you, yet if they had not been in you, they would not have been at all. You called, you shouted, you broke through my deafness, you flashed, you shone, you dispelled my blindness. You breathed your fragrance on me, and I drew in breath. And now I pant for you. I have tasted you, and now I hunger and thirst for more. You touched me, and I burned for your peace. My friends, in a world that is burning in an unhealthy way for peace, as a church which is burning with ungodly fires, it is you and I who can burn with the fire of the Holy Spirit as we welcome the Word and allow it to transform our very lives.